Hello friends, and welcome again to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast here at Archland Towers. My name is Mark Heath. I think this is number 37. I'm your host as ever, officially the second best Ipswich Town podcast host. There's been a vote in everything. I'm joined as ever by Andy Warren.
Hello.
Hutch, how are you?
Very well. When are we going to do another vote?
I think the vote's been done. I lost by a country mile.
The people's vote.
The people's vote, yeah.
Shame.
Enough of that. And on my right hand, not literally on my right hand, but to my right hand, Stuart Watson, the
Hello.
Doctor. How are
you? Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Good.
Excellent. Gentlemen, it's been a little while again since we sat down and had this chat. Last week, your favourite part of the show, General Banter, was on shore leave, Stewie. But he's back this
Is
week.
Back?
He's back. So
oh,
let's
it's
start.
A he. It's a, it's,
it could be.
Right.
Could be, yeah. Could be non-binary. I don't know. But let's chat, shall we? What have you both been up to? Hutch, today you've come into the office wearing a very fetching purple jumper. You had a little issue this morning with baby Jessica.
Yep.
What happened?
She was sick as I left the house. Sick everywhere. But it has meant that I've come into work a little bit more casual.
You're looking very smart, actually.
Thank you very much. More chilled out.
I like it.
More relaxed.
It's a particularly nice jumper.
Feeling creative. 33 quid this jumper, so...
Yeah. Just to explain, you explained to me how it happened this morning. So you were holding baby Jess in the air.
Yeah.
And...
Just about to give her a kiss goodbye.
Yeah.
She just opened her mouth and the sick came out. You must have been there, Stu.
Yes, yeah.
And there it went.
Yeah.
Milky consistency.
Oh, that's all it could possibly be, yeah.
Yeah. Stewie, how about yourself? You've been anyone been sick on you recently?
No, just myself. No.
every Saturday night.
No, those days are gone. What have I been up to? Not a lot, my friend. Nothing real of interest to bring to you.
You had a few days off at the end of last week? Oh, I'll tell you what you did do.
I went to the fireworks,
yeah.
Took my little girl to the fireworks, that was nice.
Is that her first fireworks display?
It was, yeah. And you have to, then I've realised, dawned on me now that you have to spend money on loads of like junk, like the little light up flashing plastic nonsense.
Yeah. How has health and safety impacted on something? Because obviously when we were kids, you used to go and have a sparkler on.
Yeah.
Imagine you're not allowed to hold sparklers now in case they set fire to you, everything you're wearing or burn your hands.
Yeah.
Is that do you still get sparklers, that kind of thing?
We didn't have any sparklers, but some people did have them, yeah. I don't think they've knocked them on the head just yet.
Mm.
But, yeah, no, it was very nice. Very good. Nothing really of... No, we were just working all weekend, weren't we? We had the game on Saturday, and then I was back in the office on Sunday, so...
A hard-working man. What means you have both actually shared in terms of banter this morning is you've both been watching a new show on Netflix.
Ah, yes.
Called The Haunting of Hill House.
That's right.
Which is... terrifying.
Is it really
scary? I'm not even joking. Like, I like horror stuff, but I'm more of the kind of slasher, murder on the loose, someone's going to get murked, all that sort of stuff.
This is psychological.
But this is like psychological mixed with ghost business. And it's genuinely, I find it quite affecting. Having watched a few.
It's quite a clever observation on sort of mental illness and depression and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to watch it late at night.
No.
You've both been hiding behind cushions.
I genuinely have. Like a
interesting.
Like a 9-year-old girl watching something behind a cushion while my wife laughs at me. But I find that sort of stuff genuinely unsettling.
Yeah. Do you find you can't just go straight to bed? You have to then watch something else.
Something with laughs in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch it, Hutchie. Give it a go.
Yeah.
Do you like that sort of stuff?
Yeah. Vicky wouldn't watch it with me. Finally, I've started watching Bodyguard on BBC.
Oh, yeah?
That's all right.
Mm, average.
Yeah, a bit average.
It's from the same people as did Line of Duty,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's not
but
as good
I found
as that.
It significantly less engaging.
Yeah. I've watched two episodes, it's all right.
Yeah. It's okay. It's just not, doesn't meet those high Line of Duty standards. Anyway, shall we send General Banter off for.
Line of Duty's back soon, isn't it?
Next year. As is Game of Thrones, of course, boys.
Yes. What a year.
Now we're talking.
What a year ahead.
Sue's already been to King's Landing to prepare.
He's been doing all his he's dressing up and whatnot.
Didn't dress up.
Did you not? Is there no option there to
didn't dress up, no.
Oh, there's a market there. We should start a little business over there. Hiring out Game of Thrones costumes for people.
I can't believe because they do tours, don't they? I would have thought they'd have all sorts of dressing up.
I didn't see any costumes.
Let's do it.
I did go to like a what they called an exhibition in London once, Game of Thrones thing, and they took your picture and turned you into a White Walker. That was quite cool.
Yeah,
I want to go there and start a business now.
Yeah.
There's a guy in Kyoto in Japan who hires out geisha costumes to young women. He is a millionaire.
Is he?
I spoke to him about it when I was there. I'm going to do the same in Dubrovnik. I'll see you guys later.
It's all about finding that opportunity, isn't it? That niche, and then filling it. Which
Sack
it sounds
off journalism,
like.
And yeah, like you say, find something with big markup.
Yeah.
Hire out Game of Thrones costumes to trap tourists.
Yeah. Let's do it. Obviously, we're all making loads from journalism, though.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So anyway, shall we move on now?
Too much money.
Yeah. If anything, send General Banter off for inspection, or whatever they do in the military. And let's start talking about Ipswich Town, which is why we're here. Sadly, so this weekend, obviously we've just been talking about horror shows, which most of the season had been so far. They got a draw with Preston at home in Paul Lambert's first game in charge. On the face of it, not a bad result, but not obviously what they need in this perilous state in which they find themselves. Obviously, you boys are both at the game. Your thoughts, please.
Good performance. Poor point, probably, is in short.
Thoroughly enjoyable, must be said, to start. It was an enjoyable game to watch, packed with incident.
Mm.
You can't say that about too many games at Portland Road this year, but I think Stu's right. The more I was speaking to my dad about this yesterday, he went to the game, and the more the hours went on since the game, the more he felt the result just wasn't good enough,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess in the overall situation, you know, it is the case, but I'm certainly more confident that they can dig themselves out of this than I was on Saturday morning after seeing that.
But they are now, the teams around them got results, didn't they? So they're looking like they are. I think it's still five
adrift of everyone now. Yeah. So the gap to safety is the same, but literally everybody is 5 points clear of them, which, you know, it's still 30 games to go. It's not insurmountable, but they can't afford for that gap to get any bigger. Everyone keeps talking about the January transfer window and what funds Lambert might get, and there's still 9 games to go till then.
Yeah.
And Saturday was encouraging. As encouraging as the performance was, like Andy says, I think on the final whistle, everyone sort of came away feeling sort of quite bouncy about it. That, you know, the team looked more organised. There was certainly more tempo, high press. Loads of good stuff. Certainly a really entertaining spectacle. Value for money, which it's not always been, but as Andy says, I think on reflection you think, well, it's another home game without a win, it's another opportunity where 10 men haven't been put to the sword, and I just look at the fixtures coming up and think, actually, you know, maybe the opportunities for 3 points won't come as big as that one. But four or five days working with the squad, Lambert, if he can achieve that in that space of time, then that gives us all the hope that, you know, give it another few weeks, then things will get even better, hopefully.
Gents, can I prevail upon you to both retweet my tweet about mailbag to your respective town armies?
Yep.
Because otherwise it won't see as many people as the heft of your following will allow it to.
It's almost cult-like.
It is.
Stu's following.
The Stu Army, I like to call it, the Stu Army. If we can be a bit more specific, he says, filling while both boys look for my tweet. We can be a bit more specific about Preston from the weekend. Can we break it down into reasons to be positive and perhaps reasons to be negative? Was there, start with the positive, or whoever wants to start with the positive.
Which one of us is more positive and which one of us is more negative?
I'd say you're definitely more positive.
Thank you very much.
So I don't know which one of you wants to take that, but what reason? Obviously,
I'll do a positive there, just to fly in the face of that.
Yeah.
I'll go with Jordan Roberts to start with.
Yes, that was
complete
that was
left
wasn't
field.
Yeah.
Shocked when we saw the team sheet, yeah, Andy.
Absolutely.
No one saw that coming. And he played as the lone striker, made his full debut. Obviously, Hurst signed him in the summer. One of the first signings, I think the second signing, on a Bosman from Crawley in League Two. This is a man who was generally a substitute for a League Two team in the second half of last season. Hurst kind of talked about him being pretty much a gamble, a bit of a long-term project. We were told he was a left winger, so to see him suddenly start up front was a surprise, but I thought he did really well, and I thought he provided the focal point to the attack that Ipswich have lacked. The whole system that they play, this 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, whatever label you want to put on it, essentially it's a lone striker. You need a focal point to that attack. You know Sears or Jackson, I just don't think are suited to leading the line in that way, unless you have an array of creative midfield talent, which Ipswich don't have. So Roberts, I thought, showed that Ipswich can play a certain brand of football, and I thought he was very good. Won his headers, he was strong, he held the ball up, nice little neat layoffs. Okay, he fluffed a few chances in the box, but maybe as the match sharpness comes, he might be the one that can chip in with a few goals.
Am I allowed to say something positive?
Or, you can both.
Or,
you can
do
both,
you want me to just
make
this
a round table lobbing of things? So you've gone Jordan Roberts. What are you going to say positive?
A positive for me, this wasn't from the game specifically, but I can see Ellis Harrison fitting into that role really quite well. We saw it in pre-season, what he can do. He can link play, he can win the ball in the air, he's strong in the box, heading the ball, he can bring others into play. The way Ipswich played on Saturday would suit him a lot more than the way Paul Hurst Ipswich played, which has got to be said. A lot of the things, the positives that we came away from Saturday were positives that Paul Hurst told us his Ipswich Town team were going to be, which is both sad and positive in equal measure.
Yeah.
But I can see Ellis Harrison fitting into that team really nicely when fit, which hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll find out more about on Thursday. Shouldn't be.
He's not playing today. Old Hutch is off after we record this. He's off at 1 o'clock to watch the under-23s play Cardiff.
He's not in that today. No. Toto Ntiala, Teddy Bishop and Barry Cotter are the headline names in that
Go
team
on, Barry.
Today. Which would be nice to see. But yeah, Ellis Harrison, once fit, I can see fit in that role well. And Jordan Roberts did play well.
So we've got Jordan Roberts, Ellis Harrison. Obviously, Freddie Sears scored. Yes, get in.
Yeah.
And you actually, officially, did actually do a little fist pump in the
press box etiquette
protocol.
And, there was a little clenched fist. Nothing too dramatic, but just under the desk, you know. Because at that time, it just felt like a goal, just such a big goal, right on half time. And they deserved it. They played so well in the first half. And to get, I just thought it was going to be a massive, massive moment. And it was, of course it was. And it's just a shame that they couldn't hold on and get the win.
Awesome to see Freddie score. Did he play generally okay, Freddie?
I thought he was one of the better players on the pitch. He doesn't like playing on the left, but I went to the Supporters Club AGM last Thursday, which Lambert, I thought was really good to see him and his staff there. That would have been a very easy one for him to have ducked out of only a few days into the job. But he turned up. I thought he handled the crowd very well. He was quite charming and there was a few light-hearted moments, but one of the questions in there was about, you know, we've got to stop going long to Freddie Sears. But there was also another thing about, you know, we're fed up of seeing players out of position, and Sears was used as an example on the left. And Andy and I sort of said, actually, we could see him actually being on the left, and because you know what you're going to get out of him. And he was his usual selfless, tireless self. There was a lovely moment in the first half where he raced back and made a tackle, didn't he, on his own...
Yeah.
On his own byline, was back in the left back area, but it lacks finesse at times with Freddie. Sort of, a few times he beat his man, he kind of bundled his way beyond the challenge rather than a piece of skill. But he just gives everything to the cause, and he's such a popular player, Freddie. You know, a well liked character in the dressing room as well. So the fact that it was him that scored the goal, I think everyone was really pleased with him.
Fantastic. So Sears, Roberts, Harrison. Any other positives to throw in there?
Flynn Downs, I think played well. Interestingly, on set piece duty, which we've not seen before. Lambert was full of praise of him in his press conference after the game as well. Said he's got a bright, bright future in the game, and I think he played reasonably well at Millwall as well, actually. But he's looked a lot more comfortable on the ball the last few weeks, and didn't have a good night at Leeds in Hurst's last game, but. Yeah, Flynn Downs a positive as well.
What about atmosphere? Because obviously, it was good, was it?
Really
for
good.
For those people who weren't there.
Yeah, it was 15,000, but it sounded like a lot more than that. And that just goes to show you that it's not just about the numbers in the ground, it's about the noise they make and the attitude that they bring. And for me, I know it's always the chicken and egg debate about who should motivate who, whether the fans should lift the players or vice versa. For me, you know, it's no secret that the last couple of years has been pretty turgid viewing at Portman Road on the whole. So I think the onus is on the players to give the fans something to get behind, whether it's, you know, a big tackle. It doesn't have to be a goal. It's just something that lifts them. And I thought they set the tone from the off, the players on Saturday. And it's just proof that these Ipswich fans, if you give them something, just a little glimpse, a little glimmer of hope, they will respond, these Ipswich fans, and I just think they're top class. What they've gone through for the last couple of years, you know, there's not been a lot of not been a lot to get them excited. So the fact that there was 2,000 travelling fans at Millwall, given the position they're in, the noise they made on Saturday, I think Ipswich Town Football Club are very lucky to have the supporters base they've got.
Yeah, it's been turgid, hasn't it? What great word, yep. What great word, turgid.
Yeah.
And in terms of, obviously, the thing we were told about Lambert was that he's a master motivator. He's going to fire these players up and get them ready to run through brick walls. Was there evidence of that? Because obviously we were concerned that players were low on confidence. And mm-hmm. Was there evidence that the players were, you know, I don't know, fired up or playing with more confidence?
You just looked at Luke Chambers is always fired up. Yeah. We both looked at him pretty much. He was going around giving out issuing his instructions with his hands. He was proper into it, as you'd expect. He'd had some of that Monster Energy caffeine ham, I think.
Oh,
that,
mate.
That we saw the other day.
We should share this. If you haven't seen this, did you tweet it or what was it?
No, I might do.
You can do. So Monster, the people who make those incredibly over-caffeinated and sugared drinks, are now putting out caffeinated ham.
Yep.
You can buy ham that's got caffeine in it. Why on earth would you need that?
Why not?
Well,
Monster ham.
Yeah, so wrong. Anyway, so he'd obviously had a few cans of that.
Yep.
Few slices.
Yeah, a few slices of wafers.
He was chest bumping. You know when you sort of bump, you sort of almost run and jump and do a little chest bump together. He was going around issuing out those and almost knocking his teammates flat on their back. You know, he was pumped pre-kickoff.
It's an advert for Monster Ham.
And Lambert as well. His touchline presence was just so at odds to Paul Hurst, who kind of stayed sat in his seat the whole time. But he was hopping about on that touchline, wasn't he?
Yep, he kicked every ball. He was racing. He went and grabbed the ball out of the Preston dugout at one point to get it back in for a throw-in.
Yeah.
Kicked every ball, headed every ball.
Good man.
G-ing up the fans, wasn't he? All four sides of the ground. He was sort of trying to get them going, and I think they needed that.
Yeah, he went to the North Stand at the end as well, and with his players, and was like pointing at all of his players. This is a theme, isn't it? It's all about the players, but he was pointing at his players. He had Freddie Sears in particular.
Who's really?
Like, this guy.
Oh, that's good.
And like a few of them, He was with everybody at the end.
Nice one, that's what you want to see. That's certainly what they're going to need to get out of this mess. But we can't really avoid the reasons to be negative either, because you wrote, Stewie, your verdict as ever was excellent. It was online now and in the paper today if you've missed it. Because obviously I came away feeling pretty positive about, I hadn't seen the match, but I followed your stuff.
And then he read Stuart Watson's words.
No, because it was well put, wasn't it? Because although there were, by the sound of it, plenty of reasons, and we just discussed those reasons to be positive, ultimately they still didn't beat a side at home that had 10 men and had an outfield player in goal.
Yeah, and this is my concern. I think I said on the podcast last week that I still felt deep down that it was confidence rather than quality that was an issue, and that was a confident team, or a team with renewed confidence at the weekend. I'm not sure you'll get much more out of them. I thought a lot of the players were playing to their max, as we've just discussed, and they still didn't win the game. And I feel like a killjoy writing that piece, and I got quite a few people say, "Oh, thanks for bringing the mood down," and you know, we don't need negative media like you at the moment. We need everyone together. But I just feel it would be wrong to ignore the severity of the situation. And, you know, I've been looking a lot at the league table and how many points might be required to get Ipswich out of this current position. I mean, I look back over the last 10 years and only three teams that have been bottom after 16 games out of the 10 have gone on to survive. Mm. So immediately the odds are stacked against you. I just worry about the goals. I just worry about the goals and where they're going to come from. We said that last week. And as well as Jordan Roberts played, you know, I don't wish to sound unkind, but if suddenly calling Jordan Roberts in from the cold and playing him as a makeshift striker and Freddie Sears sort of doing his tireless work on the left, Gwion Edwards had a bit of a sort of hit and miss game out on the right. I just don't know where the goals are going to come from, and if you can't see off Preston in those circumstances, we've seen it against Bolton at home, against 10 men as well, that's my concern. And they need to score goals to win games. At the moment it looks like they're going to probably need to score a couple of goals to get wins more often than not. Am I being unfair?
No, I don't think so. The performance was better, but Ipswich's situation got worse on Saturday. It did. They're now 5 points adrift of everybody. The situation got worse. Ipswich played better, and you're right, Stu. They probably were playing to their max. And in truth, I think Matt Pennington had a header wide, didn't he? Danny Rowe had that volley saved by Paul Gallagher, which seems ridiculous to say, but they didn't threaten the Preston goal enough at a time when Paul Gallagher was in goal.
He made a meal of that save as well, didn't he?
He did, but yeah. He's a winger, so he can do that. Yeah. Wingers make a meal of everything, don't they? Especially if they're in goal. But I think when they were down to 10 men and their goalkeeping changed, I think it switched, maybe just panicked a little bit. Mm. Maybe a bit of that air of expectation got back on their shoulders again a little bit that they hadn't coped with up until this point in the season. Like, oh, goodness me, there's a winger in goal. We need to win this. And they hurried and rushed things when actually if they'd been a bit more patient and played the way they'd been trying to play for the afternoon, maybe they'd have tested the goalkeeper more, but the winger more, but they didn't, sadly.
So big reason to be negative, they can't score for Toffee.
But we knew that going in, didn't we? And that's the negative.
Is that, but there, are there any other reasons that you saw on Saturday that, did you think, I mean, I know you before you said it was confidence rather than quality, but did Saturday...
Well, I thought that defensively as a unit they look more organised. I know it's another goal from a set piece and I haven't actually watched it back properly, but to me it looked like the ball was poorly positioned. Gallagher's a good set piece taker, one of the best, and I think he deceived Bart with the way he kind of whipped it back to that corner of the goal.
What happened, I've watched it a few times yesterday, what happened is there was a Preston player on the end of the wall. Luke Chambers was on the far end, that corner of the Ipswich wall, and that Preston player sort of basically moved the wall, and Gallagher, if you look, somebody filmed it from the north stand end, and he had such a big gap, just to, he'd have kicked himself if he didn't score in the end. But it was, you know, the Preston player got in the wall and made a gap.
Yeah.
But he was always going to score if you I'll show it to you later, but if you look at it, there's no way he wasn't going to put the ball in the net, sadly.
But in general, that aside, I thought they coped with set pieces a lot better. I think Preston had six corners and Lambert clearly had told everyone to get back in the box. There was a moment in the first half, Andy said to me, he's put all 10 back. They didn't leave anyone up, which is very rare.
Even little Guion.
And they went to take, someone went to show for the short corner and two players went to track him. And it was almost like as soon as they hit the edge of the wall, it was like there was an invisible barrier there, and they suddenly we've all been told we must stay in the box, and you know, that worked just by having extra bodies back. And I think it looked like I thought Jordan Spence had probably his most assured game of the season so far. The back four looked, I mean, Pennington was class again.
That tackle
at the end, I mean, again, I not the done thing in the press box, but I spontaneously applauded that. I mean, that is football porn to me. That is that was just like, Chambers lost a 50-50 and it was almost, it felt like 3-on-1 at the time. I've watched it back, it wasn't quite that, but they had men streaming over and you thought, oh no, here we go. And Pennington, just the pace, the timing, the ferocity of the tackle, that was class. So it looks to me like they've got a more solid foundation to build upon, and hopefully they can add the goals on top of that. So I'm more worried about the goals being scored than the goals being conceded.
Okay, let's move on. Stewie, as we do that, I know you've got a lot of stats in front of you. Do you want to talk about those? Is that for a reason? Lost.
Well, I'm just trying to sort of work out the sort of the benchmark for safety.
Yeah.
16 games in, I've just got the table from 2012-13 here. After 16 games, Ipswich were 22nd. So they'd obviously, Mick had come in for a few games by that point. They had 13 points at that stage. They've got 10 now. So they've been in this position before, or not too far off, and they've beaten the odds a couple of times. They had a really bad start under Keane's first full season and got themselves out of danger. But so what do we reckon they need, Andy, to stay up? 45?
I think gut feeling mid-40s.
45 to 50 points on average. Yeah.
How many have they got at the moment?
And they've got 10.
So 30 games to go.
Right.
So they need, what's that,
35 points from 30 games.
35 to 40 points.
That's to hit 40.5. Yeah.
And over the next 30 games, and I just went back out of interest to see what they've got from the last 30 league games, and they got 25 points. So you need, Lambert needs to add at least 10 extra points, at least 10 extra points on these next 30 compared to the last 30. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, but that just highlights the situation they're in.
That's why they're calling the doctor. Unfortunately, you heard it here first. Town are going down. Science proves
it. I'm not saying that. It's not completely out of the realms. And you know, I look at Saturday and I think if he's managed that in a week, what could he manage in
absolutely
3, 4, 5 weeks? And then you know, the bottom line is they need to stay in touch between now and the new year. Mm. And then I actually think with his contacts in the game, January's not an easy time to do business. But I just think with his contacts in the game, he'll be able to add, for me, a central striker and an experienced central midfielder. Add that to the team on Saturday and they'll be okay. But I just worry about these next 9 games. That's my concern.
Can I interrupt here?
Oh, he's got,
what's
he's
got
something.
There we go.
I've got some thoughts.
There's a Warren interlude. Here we go.
Yes.
What is it?
Paul Lambert layered his pancake with duck, pointing sauce and cucumber. And put it to his mouth with a grin. He and his backroom staff were toasting a good start in Ipswich Blue with a Chinese in town as the new town boss's mind started to wander. He doesn't want to talk about it, of course, despite the continued attempts of an old sparring partner from up the road, but his mind was already beginning to turn to February the 10th. He knows how to win East Anglian derbies in yellow and green, of course, but doing it in blue is a whole different story. The weight of history is against him, but that's why he's here. He wants a challenge, and he certainly has one. Paul Lambert is a blue. He hates Norwich, the away crowd sing at Carrow Road. The noise coming from the Barkley end is a little less complimentary. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care for Daniel Farker's sweepy hair or his Parker coat either. He doesn't like the music of Blur or Norwich's take on it. All he cares about is leading the way from the touchline, bouncing around, kicking every ball.
Yes.
And it's so far so good heading into the 85th minute of the game at Norwich.
Oh no.
It's 0-0. His blues have been solid and are beginning to threaten with more regularity.
Come on.
As the pace of Caden Jackson forces a late corner. Flynn Downs delivers. Luke Chambers thumps home. The Ipswich fans go wild. But Lambert is ice cool. Ice cool.
Game's not finished yet.
There's no danger of a repeat of 12 months prior, though. The job is done.
Surely
it's seen out. At full time, Lambert turns and plants a familiar rosette onto Delia's lapel before telling her he never really cared for her cooking.
Yes, get in.
Next, he's heading for the centre circle, where he channels his inner Graham Souness and plants a blue and white flag at the Ipswich. He then heads to the Ipswich fans. The Norwich supporters have to watch all of this on the weird rotating iPad in the corner of Carrow Road. They're still in the thick of the promotion race, but this hurts them. Town are out of relegation zone for the first time.
Yes.
But now Paul's back in the room as his beef and black bean sauce arrives, and he snaps back to the here and now. The derby can wait. He has bigger fish to fry right now. But Paul Lambert is a blue. He hates Norwich.
Yes!
Yes!
Thank you, boys.
When did you come up with that?
Just on a walk down, mate.
I love it.
Because I saw Paul Lambert in town on Saturday.
Did you?
They actually did go out for a Chinese. I saw them. So
fist bump?
No. I slinked into the curry house next door.
That's tremendous. So
my friends were like, Paul, well done today, Paul. And I just nipped in. I didn't want to get involved in that.
So you heard it here first. The town are going down, but also they're going to beat Norwich 1-0.
Well, I think if you were listening, they actually went out of the relegation zone.
It didn't say they stayed up though, did it?
Doesn't matter.
They just jumped out of the relegation zone.
February the 10th.
Okay.
If they're out of the relegation zone by February the 10th, they're staying up.
I would bloody love that. I hope it plays out like that. Especially
record that and play it to the players.
I think we should. With some, what do you call it, Jerusalem behind it or something. Yeah.
We haven't got the rights to Jerusalem. Well, so you might have some kind of classical.
Some lift
music.
Knockoff sort of thing. Yeah, classical will work.
That's all I'm thinking.
Also feel that should have a greater platform, that should exist as a written piece of content on our websites.
Nearer the time.
Now.
I think it should definitely go up on
the
wall.
What Paul did after.
Yeah.
You should sign that, date it, and we'll put it up on the wall, Legends wall behind us in the office.
Although my only fear is the last time you had some thoughts like this. Which game was it?
Was that the other night? The first derby game?
No, it was the Bolton game.
That's right.
Yeah.
That didn't work out so well.
But hey, no one's right 100% of the time, are they?
Exactly.
And if he's right that time, we'll all be very happy. Especially
that's my
favourite
bit of the podcast. Yeah, the flag in the middle
of the pitch. That'd be amazing.
Shirt, a Norwich shirt as well. Yeah.
Obviously, probably wouldn't get a Norwich alive, but fantastic. If that comes to pass. Actually, to be fair to him, I reckon he'd probably look after himself. Lambert.
I think
the mean streets of Glasgow. Boys, I was somewhat taken aback by that and I'm still somewhat in shock. What do you want to do next? Do you want to do Reading away? Look away to that? Or do you want to do mailbag?
Before we move on to Reading away.
Here we go. There's another interlude.
This is Andy and Coates is an issue that I'd like to raise.
Yes.
Andy claims he's...
This goes under any other business, but fine. Mm.
Well, do I'm doing it now. Andy claims he's never owned a coat.
Not only that, but he backs it up every time. On our frequent trips to Starbucks in the recent inclement weather, he's been going sans anything, really, other than just a shirt.
Not topless. Yeah.
Well, no, he's got a shirt on. But, yeah, that, no...
Have you ever seen me wear a coat?
I haven't. I've seen you wear... I've seen you wear, like, a hoodie zip-up top thing.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's not a coat. That's a tracksuit. Why? Why are you so anti-coats?
I don't need one.
Of course you need one. Ridiculous thing to say. What do you do when it's snowing? What?
Just go out? Yeah.
Have you ever worn a coat?
Yes, I
what
have.
If it's raining?
Exactly. Well, we've seen what he does when it's raining. He just strolls out the door
I've
boldly.
I've got nothing really to
daring
say.
Daring the rain to hit him.
I'm clear in what I'm saying. I don't own a coat that fits me.
But there must have been a time. There must have been a time if you had some kind of incident with a coat in the past that's brought you to this point.
Well, like a childhood.
Yeah, did you get
flashback.
Caught? Did you get caught in a coat or something?
In the
or
zipper.
In the zipper, yeah.
God, you don't want to do that. I'm not very good at zips, but no, not really. I just don't.
You don't like the feel
of
a coat?
I think I could benefit from the added pocket space that a coat gives you.
That's another bonus, isn't it?
But
carrying your wallet around.
Yeah,
especially as you've got the world's biggest wallet.
Fattest wallet.
It's all the cash that I've got
making
in
it rain,
not,
baby.
Because you keep every piece of junk that you have ever picked up in your wallet. It's got about 100 credit cards in there, and that's not even...
Yeah. That's true.
Here's your store card from HMV that you haven't used
since
2006.
That's the mounting pile of debt that I've got.
Sentimental value. But also, for me, like a coat, I like the coat as part of an outfit, do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of... Coat's part of going out, isn't it? And you know, all that sort of stuff, looking smart, but
not really an outfit guy.
No?
No. To be honest.
So we'll never see you in a coat ever?
You haven't so far.
What about on a snowy night in Hull in February?
You haven't so far.
It's a man who doesn't drink tea and doesn't wear coats.
But does drink Bovril.
Haven't had a Bovril since I can tell you the last time I had a Bovril actually.
Yeah.
At Burton Albion last year. That's over a year since my last Bovril, so that needs to change.
Well, that will change.
We're in the Bovril
as we approach the poor weather. Right, before we move on, before we're all doing all this, I want to bring something in now. I'm going to do this every week. It's going to be called Mark's Big Question. I feel like the listeners...
Mark's Big Question.
Exactly.
It's a jingle.
Exactly. We've worked together a long time. Sometimes I don't really feel like I know you at all, so hopefully that will help to bring us close together and obviously us with the listeners. Stuart Watson, pick a number between 1 and 14.
Six.
Where's this going? That's number Wang.
Number six on my list of podcast questions. Your favourite, both of you, favourite athlete ever of all time. Your favourite sports person.
Goodness.
And reasons why.
LeBron James.
Go on, explain.
Incredible basketball player, first and foremost, but a real good man.
Hmm.
You're a big LeBron fan. But
I don't think it's hyperbole to say that LeBron James is the most important athlete alive today. Not only because he's the best basketball player on the planet at the moment, but because, unlike many other players, Michael Jordan, we're looking at you, who ever refused to speak out for fear of losing endorsements, LeBron does it regularly, doesn't he?
Yep, big time.
He speaks out on
all kinds of issues.
Absolutely, civil rights. And also, unlike a lot of big-time sports stars, he's never been a philanderer and a cheat.
No.
He stayed with the same...
His childhood sweetheart,
exactly.
Pretty much, isn't he?
They're like a conventional family.
Yep.
Again, a superb role model.
He's recently opened a school
in
his hometown of Akron, Ohio, which is like fully funded for kids from tough backgrounds.
And he bought everyone a bike,
didn't he? All the kids have got a bike because he said when he was younger, it helped him get out of tough situations that he didn't want to be in, sort of sticky situations. All the kids get a computer.
Yeah.
All kinds of different people have been going there to... sort of speak to these guys, fully funded school places, and I think he helps with their college fees as well if they get beyond that and go to college.
He's a bloody good bloke, isn't he?
And an incredible basketball player to watch him.
Also, carry on. But
just putting a team on, he can put a team on his back and take them to, like, he's been to 8 straight NBA finals and 4 of them were with a really bad
essentially just
Cleveland
team.
So he's
a freak athlete as well. You can't, even if you don't like basketball, to see a man, what is he, 6'9", 250 pounds, built like the proverbial brick shit house.
Mm.
He can move like a gazelle, can't he?
Yep.
He can soar through the air, but equally he's as adept physically, isn't he, in terms of using his physical power?
Yep.
He's one of these guys that you just think whatever sport he played, he would have been dominant at.
He could play wide receiver in the NFL.
He could play in the NFL. I mean, he obviously was a two sports star in high school. You could see him having success in things like boxing, mixed martial arts, because again, he's got that freakish athletic ability. Wonderful, wonderful athlete. But he's your favourite ever.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yep.
Stuart. The Doctor.
Such a
don't
question.
Say Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah, don't say Duncan Ferguson. Although he did beat up that burglar.
Yeah.
I'd
probably say Tiger Woods, actually.
Yes.
It's just, and I feel bad now because you've just been extolling the virtues of LeBron's moral compass, and then I'm throwing in Tiger Woods, who's obviously had his issues in more recent times.
Yeah, it's fair to say.
But just in terms of what he did for, you know, the game of golf during that period was just, during the sort of the early noughties, was just unreal.
Mm.
You know, he was golf and he still is golf.
Oh,
how
still
you
is
can
golf.
Be out of golf for that long and still be. And that comeback recently was just unbelievable. So.
He's gonna win a major again, isn't he? I think.
I'm not convinced.
I think he will. I think you could argue certainly that it's the greatest comeback in sports history. What he's done, he's gone from being, he was gone, wasn't he? I mean, he could barely hit a ball.
At the world number 1,000.
Yeah, not just psychologically, but physically.
Yeah.
His back was in bits. On a golfer,
he couldn't hit a ball straight. He was saying he could barely drive a ball 100 yards. This is a guy that obviously introduced tiger-proof courses. He could hit the ball so far, and then he went to that. We had the whole intoxication, couldn't even blow into a tube, he was sucking instead. He was a mess, and now he's come back, he's obviously won a tournament. Yeah, and like you say, he is golf. There's no doubt that with Tiger Woods playing well, what is better in sport, maybe other than seeing LeBron James charge down the court and dunk on some poor unfortunate
posterized
chap. Tiger Woods, final day wearing that maroon top
just,
that he
just
wears.
Just the fear that struck into people. I mean, golf, for anyone who's played golf will realise just how difficult a sport that is to master and be consistent at.
Yeah.
And that is why you don't see people dominate golf. But Tiger dominated golf, and on a Sunday, when he went out there with a red shirt, it was, you saw the other players
fear
interviewed
factor.
And it was just basically like, well, we're battling for second.
Yeah.
It was just an acceptance that they were going to lose. And that, just remarkable.
I still think, though, that the whole tumbling down to cards where, you know, obviously they had the incident where he had the car crash, his wife at the time tried to hit him with a golf club, all that. I think he'd built up such an aura and an ego around himself that he could essentially do whatever he want, you know, bend reality to his own will sort of thing, that when it became apparent to him that he couldn't, you know, have multiple sexual partners and, you know, this, that and the other, I think that the Tiger aura started to shrink. And I think he's probably still recovering from that now.
Yeah.
It is fascinating, though, in terms of a kind of sporting psychology point of view, Tiger Woods. Two very good examples there, my friends. Good picks. My pick would be Muhammad Ali. And all I need to say, I don't think I need to go through his multiple list of achievements, all I need to say that without Muhammad Ali, there wouldn't be a LeBron James and there wouldn't be a Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave that argument there. Well, I enjoyed that. That was good. So that's going to be a weekly question.
Mark's
big question. Aha. I'll just tick that one off. Now then, chaps, where are we going to go next? We're going to go Reading. We're going to go Mailbag. Up to you. You drive.
Mailbag.
Let's do that. Right. Let's get on.
That's my bag.
Let's get on to Twitter. Let's see where we are. Right. Scroll back. Here we are. Simon
says.
Let's take one at a time here. So we start with Hutchie. Simon says, your favourite contributor. What did you think of Lambert's touchline antics? I like it that he kicked every ball. And did you see enough positives to give you hope for the next 30 games?
Yep, I agree. I like it. That's not to say that I think Paul Hurst should have been doing that, because I don't think you can force that on someone. That's either your style or it isn't. I think you'd soon see through if somebody was doing it for appearance sake. Paul Hurst has obviously had a great deal of success from his own approach to management on the touchline, and that's absolutely fine. But I think in the time and place that Ipswich Town are now, it's great to look down there and see a manager that's kicking every ball and, you know, is with the players, knows the gravity of the situation there.
That's the big thing, isn't it, for fans? You want to see that. You want
to
see that your manager has the same sort of passion that you've got as a fan.
It adds to it, I think.
Mr. G Unit, Stewie, how far is Harrison from returning? I think we touched on that earlier. Not too far away.
Shouldn't be.
Should be back after
that. 2 months ankle injury at the time it was announced, and I think we're pretty much.
Yeah, Hurst actually decreased that to 6 weeks at one point. He did it on like 28th of September before the Birmingham game. So we're after the international break. You'd think
we're getting close. I think part two, in terms of how quickly he's going to be ready to play is another question.
Part two of Mr. G's question: do you think he and Jackson could form a partnership? I assume he means effective partnership, or if they could form a partnership.
Yeah, I think they've probably got the qualities that would complement each other in terms of Harrison being a bit more of the physical player and Jackson's pace running off of him. I think I'd like to see him stick with the system that they played on Saturday, actually. I think Cole Skuse is far better in a three than a two when he's allowed to concentrate on just sort of protecting that back four. Couple of wingers and then play. I think it's just vital that they've got someone who has a bit more of a physical presence up top, whether that's Roberts for the short term, Harrison in the medium term, and another in the longer term. That's the way I'd like to.
You saw the impact that Jackson's pace can have as a substitute, because he ultimately drew the foul that the goalkeeper with Maxwell was sent off for, and I don't think he realised quite how rapid Caden was, because that was the goalkeeper's ball to casually put into touch. But this gazelle-like creature that Ipswich have up front at the moment from the bench was able to spring that on him and ultimately could have changed the game. Sadly, it didn't quite happen.
I reckon we've got 10 minutes before Hutchie. We want to finish at 12:30 because Hutchie's got to be at the ground for quarter to one, ideally. So let's zip through these. Matt Thomas, I'm not sure if this is aimed at shot us or not, but I'll read it out because I don't want to think there's been any sort of cover-up. Isn't it tiresome hearing the media say the fans need to get behind the manager, players and team? Until the last three of Hurst games, and despite some dismal performances, fans tended to be nothing but supportive at matches. The positive game v Preston only continues that. I'm not sure we've been... I don't know if he means us there, whether he's talking about the wider media. Maybe...
The wider media debate seems to centre around the obsession with bringing up Mick McCarthy still and be careful what you wish for and all that, but that doesn't seem to fall into that category. I don't think there's been any, certainly from our point of view, sort of telling fans you must get behind the team and the players.
I think we've merely just been printing the quotes from the players and manager who've been saying that.
Yeah. No suggestion that they weren't before either.
Yeah.
Like, you could sense it. Ipswich fans turned up, especially games against Blackburn, Villa early in the season. They were so excited for what could potentially lie ahead, and that atmosphere was back again on Saturday. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think we've always been very reflective over the last year or so. I've been very sympathetic, actually, of those that have decided, actually, I'm not going to go anymore. This isn't worth my money. And I always said that it was the silent majority that was speaking far bigger, it was making more noise than those that were sort of grumbling at games. It was the decreasing attendance that was the bigger issue, but we've moved on from that.
Let's zip through these then. Lewis Robertson, with Paul Lambert's previous playing experience combined with the fact he's known for spending a lot of time studying European coaching styles, including over the summer, Do you, Lewis, think he will use the European market to strengthen Andy Warren?
I would be surprised if he did that in January. He has brought in players from all kinds of different countries at various clubs for differing amounts of money, but I would think he will stick with battle-hardened players that he knows can do a job in the second tier.
Who was it you interviewed recently? He was obsessed with men with scars.
Phil Brown.
Phil Brown.
He had a big thing about that, didn't he?
He's got a scar. He's come
real
out
men.
From scars.
Real men
days.
Have scars. He'd like you, Stu, because you're covered in scars.
What scars have you got?
Yeah.
That one there.
Eyebrow. head scars.
Leg scars from breaking his freaking leg. Still came to work. Harvey Davis. With Barry Cotter playing for the under-23s today, does he have a chance to stake his claim at right-back, or do you not see a future for him at Town? That would be a shame after he impressed so much on debut. Stewie, Barry Cotter, does he have a future at Town?
I don't know, is the honest answer.
Good, excellent. Guy Thornton.
Under the new manager, we'll see how he does for the 23s today. I'm sure Andy will give some observations on how he does. I don't think it's just been a case of he's not been liked. I think there's been a few injuries and illness along the way that's probably set him back. From what I gather, maybe a little bit of overconfidence. We saw that he was a confident lad when he, you know, obviously he had that cracking debut, and then he was over taking on Chambers' fist pump duties against Barnsley, wasn't he, in that home win. And just reading between the lines of what Brian Clough and others said at the time, that they maybe just wanted to kind of keep him a little bit grounded. But certainly from, we can only judge on what we've seen so far, and he was outstanding. I'm not overplaying it. That night against Barnsley, we were superb. So it's been a little bit strange that he's not been anywhere near it since then. So hopefully he's got a future.
Luke Chambers said he's looking forward to seeing him.
That's important, having Chambers back in.
Yeah, if Chambers wants you in,
you're pretty much in.
Who knows?
Yeah, or alternative. Guy Thornton. No one has looked at Evans to blame for the Hurst situation. We raised, what, 10 million and reinvested 5 million. Was he ever given a chance to succeed, and will every manager struggle until investment increases?
Issues are what they are in terms of investment.
That's a political answer.
Well,
there.
It is, isn't it? I find it hard to talk about this because investment. Yeah, Evans is putting money into the football club.
A lot of money.
Yeah, it's more money than I've got.
Exactly.
In my massive wallet.
Yeah.
But will managers struggle to succeed? Yeah. You have to say yes if success is top six Premier League promotion. You have to say it's hard. Like, Mick McCarthy achieved what he did against the odds in taking Ipswich to the playoffs. That shouldn't have done that, given the financial sums involved. If success means challenging for promotion, then it's harder to do that with Ipswich Town than it is for Aston Villa. That's just the way it is.
In terms of the money that came in and the money that went out in the summer, from my understanding is Paul Hurst, Evans delivered on all of the signings that Hurst wanted. It wasn't like he went with a shopping list and was told, no, these are all out of your price range. You know, those were the players that he wanted to buy. So a lot of the criticisms that have been levelled at Evans over the last 12 months, I think he's actually gone some way to addressing them. You know, he needs to speak out more publicly. Okay, I think he should probably do more. But he did the video interview. He's giving his thoughts a lot more in some of the press releases, the 5-point plan. He's changed the manager for the type of manager that I think most people were calling out for. He lowered the season ticket prices. So he's addressed a lot of issues, and ultimately the bottom line is that he can't afford to be a football owner at this level anymore. That's the stark reality. 10 years ago, he thought that he had the wealth that would instantly turn Ipswich into a Premier League side, and 10 years later, he's a multi-millionaire, and really it's a billionaire's situation now, isn't it?
Billionaire's playground.
Yeah.
I'd like to be in a billionaire's playground.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Tricky Taylor McTrickerson. Sounds like he'd be nifty on the wing. Which loans are we able to recall in January? Snappy, we've got four
all
minutes.
All of them, I think.
All of them.
All of them, good. Next question. Alex Bentham, do you think Hurst was misusing Roberts, and that's why we're only seeing the good side now, or indeed any side of him?
I think he had a plan for Roberts. He signed him, after all. But he did regularly state that he saw him as a bit of a project and maybe
work in progress.
Yeah. Look, we're not talking about Jordan Roberts that's come in and absolutely smashed it out of the park in this game. He's not come in and shown that he's the complete answer to what was going wrong. He's come in and played.
Well, you played seen pretty him well. For the 23s, yeah. And you said that he never exactly tore
no,
it up.
He wasn't
the
tearing up the 23s. But in saying that as well, the 23s, the threat for the 23s came from the wide positions and back in midfield. And is that what Paul Hurst wanted from his strikers? I think it probably was, wasn't it? Maybe to bring players into the game. But as a central striker, Robert certainly wasn't dominating these under 23 games, and he wasn't showing many of the attributes that we saw at the weekend, because he wasn't being asked to. He wasn't being given balls in the air. He wasn't holding up play specifically, but yeah, I wouldn't say he was being misused.
Okay. David Swan, no Shrewsbury players in the squad. Do you think that Paul Lambert thinks that means they lack quality or lack confidence?
Very interesting, that one. We both sort of looked at each other and said that Toto and Ciala and John Nolan, who very much would be seen as, of all of the signings, the Paul Hurst boys, having come directly from Shrewsbury and worked with him at Grimsby as well. You know, are they seen to be a bit of the old era? I don't know. There was talk that Nolan might have picked up an injury. I can't verify that. NCR was playing for the 23s today, but yeah, that's a very interesting one to keep an eye on.
The pin. Have you ever celebrated a town goal in a press box only to incur the wrath of one of your opposite numbers representing the opposition? I think the answer to that is probably no, isn't it?
No, for both of you? I tend to be the one that sort of turns around and shoots the daggers, or I have actually told people to calm down before. Cause,
opposing journalists,
it's
as it were.
Not, you don't, there's one or two from yeah. sort of independent media, but on the whole, newspaper lot are pretty good. It's the ones that work for football clubs, which I can kind of understand because they're paid by that football club, and in some cases their jobs are intrinsically linked to the success of those football clubs. People lose jobs if clubs get relegated, so I can kind of let that slide sometimes.
I've had colleagues celebrate goals, though. Not yourself, but when I was covering Swindon, an old colleague of mine, Sam, turned in. I think it was it was on a cold Tuesday night at Stoke, actually. Swindon did do it, 1-4-3 in a cup game, and he kissed me on the head.
Wow!
During a game, he was so happy. Okay. And I'm not going to name names, but there was a member of the Ipswich Town press corps at the weekend who was chanting "off, off, off" when the penalty was given.
Wow.
Won't name any names.
He was told to calm down.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah. yes. We've still got quite a lot of questions to get through. I don't think we're going to have time to do them all, sadly.
We've got 5 minutes. Come on.
5 minutes. Okay. Let's zip through these.
Rapid.
Adrian Hawes, generally, how good are our youngsters coming through? Have we overhyped them a little? I see a number of younger players at other champ clubs who have seemed to kick on more, look more powerful and consistent than ours are out now. Is lack of game time a factor or a myth?
There's a lot in that question.
There is. But answer it quickly. Okay, let's say, how good are our youngsters coming through?
Good.
Have we overhyped them?
No.
Is lack of game time a factor?
Who's we for overhyping, actually?
Well, I guess he means, I mean, Hursty, Hollywood, before he went, hinted that Dezella had been put on a pedestal.
Possibly.
I'm not sure they've been overhyped, though. They've been maybe overused, maybe thrown in too quickly. I'm not sure that's the same as overhyped.
I guess the point they're making is that people like Naidam and Morris have gone off on loan to clubs and are not getting a huge amount of game time. Maybe fans of Ipswich have got bigger expectations of, you know, homegrown talent because of the history of the football club. You know, it's no coincidence that a string of managers have maybe not rushed to use players. You know, at the end of the day, if they were good enough, managers would play them because they want to get their best team out on the pitch, and they see them week in, week out on the training pitch more than we do. Beyond the ones that are on the verge of the first team, I think there is some serious excitement about the lower age groups at the football club at the moment. The key is keeping hold of them now, when, you know, you're seeing people like Man City and Arsenal and United seeming to come and poach them now. That's the worry. But yeah, I think there's some very good ones coming through from below.
Deacon Bauer, in the professional opinions of Hutch and the Doctor, what league position will Town be in on the 1st of January 2019 when the transfer window opens? Position.
23rd.
22nd.
Good, that's that one sorted. Oliver Gardner, I see Ted Bishop is playing today. Any idea what's happening with him here? News, how are his old puffy knees?
I imagine they're puffy.
Sounds like a wrap up.
He's on the grass.
We
saw him on the first press conference day. He was spotted out there training, so but he's done that plenty of times before and had setbacks. So
excellent.
I don't wish to tempt fate.
Excellent. The buffet bowler, this isn't a question, it's just something we can enjoy as crisp enthusiasts. He says Town players as crisps. Danny Sonner would be discos. Luke Chambers would be Steak McCoy's.
Yeah,
Cole Skews would be Walker's Plain. What's wrong with Walker's Plain? Michael Chopra would be Watsits. I enjoyed that. Obviously, we've not had time to talk about it as
Let's
well.
Let's have some more.
Some breaking crisp news that I brought to the boys earlier this week, or last week as it was now. Brussels sprout flavoured Walkers, which are actually green.
It's a disgrace.
It sounds horrendous.
Stuart Watson's a disgrace.
You're into them, though, aren't you?
Well, I've not tried the crisps.
We're going to have to get some on here and do a live
sprouts
tasting.
Sprouts in general I'm into, yes.
Sprouts are good.
Vinegar with them, they're good.
Sprouts are good. Crisps are good. I can't see them working together. We'll see. Anyway, we'll do a live tasting next podcast. And finally, the pin's back on. Again, keep this short. How do you pass away the hours on long journeys to away games apart from filling your gobs with big porkers, which obviously you do quite a lot? Do you have a CD of choice you play in the car?
No.
Relevant. Or do you chit-chat about crisps, etc.? Or you go to sleep. Or do you go to sleep? I like to imagine you kind of hugging on the back seat.
I'm a sleeper on the way to games.
Yeah.
And Andy sleeps more on the way home.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll watch a bit of The Office together. We'll huddle over a phone. Share a headphone each.
Just do quotes at each other. These two absolutely bloody love The Office, honestly. If you want to impress them, just quote The Office at them. They'll go all day.
Make sure you get it right, though.
Oh, yeah. If you don't get it right, then I'll never speak to you again.
What else do we do? We listen to Smooth FM.
That's forced on you.
Choice of the driver, not us.
We often talk for an hour about the game.
First hour is normally football heavily, and then it moves on to nonsense from there on.
There you go.
Same with the way up, actually. Probably talk about the game and then talk about roadworks on the A14, favourite service stations.
Oh, that reminds me, actually, we had a message. Have you seen this on the Kings of Anglia Facebook page, where all the best stuff is, asking if you had seen a guy the other week sent us a very informed and lengthy message about...
He says,
trying to find it. Where is it gone? It's a guy, I think his name... I want to name check him. Talk amongst yourself, boy. Here we go. Sean Young. He sent this a couple of weeks ago. He had some very specific instructions. He says, "Hi guys, big fan of the podcast, what you do. Really refreshing to hear you try and maintain a positive view on the club. I heard you guys moaning about the food at Reading the other day and thought that I had to send you a local alternative." And then he sends some very, very specific directions to something called the Wellington Farm Shop, which he says is full of some brilliant local produce. And this morning, which is why I've just jogged my memory, he replied, he sent this back in October. This morning, he messaged again to say, "Just wanted to check, has this been passed on to Andy and Stu?" So he's very keen to see you at the Wellington Farm Shop this coming Saturday. I don't know. He just says it's a place to be, apparently.
Okay.
So we got in,
what are we getting from there?
There is a link to the website.
You know what I'd really like? A really nice, like, locally produced Scotch egg.
Oh, Scotch eggs are wonderful, aren't they?
If the Wellington Farm Shop can do that,
let's have a look.
I'm into it.
New menu. let's have a look what they've got, boys. Right. Do you fancy any of this? Let's have a look. We've got hot food.
I think we had a discussion that Reading were sponsored by Waitrose, and we used to get a really nice Waitrose spread, and now they're sponsored by Carabao, so I don't know if we'll just have a load of energy drink instead.
It's just gonna, they might have some Carabao ham as well. I don't know if they do that kind of thing. Just Carabao's disgusting, by the way. It's really, really bad. You should have one this weekend. There'll be one available.
Bang one of them down with some Brussels sprout crisps.
Should we do a little video?
I want to see more videos from you on the road, on Instagram particularly. Little stories, that'd be fantastic. Anyway,
drinking Carabao,
hot food you can get at this Wellington farm shop, which you may or may not be going to on Saturday.
Probably not. But
pork and apple sausages with black pudding, mash and onion gravy. Wellington Hereford beef burger with tomato relish and hand-cut chips. Venison burger with Stilton. Fantastic. Stilton and venison. Classic. Grilled chicken breast with bacon mayonnaise. I can't see the ones. You can also get fillet ribeye sirloin steaks. And you can get hand-cut chunky chips, sweet potato chips, and a selection of salads.
Are these kind of at a price range that expenses will...
We're talking, starts out around 11 quid, goes up to 14.
Can we get that through expenses?
Yeah, why not?
Excellent.
You need to eat, don't you?
We do, and we need to eat at our farm shop.
Thanks very much for that, man whose name I've just forgotten. Sean Young, thanks for that. Hopefully the boys may have time, or may not, more realistically, to go.
I imagine we'll probably stop at the services on the northbound part of the M25.
That would be tremendous.
South Mims.
Yeah, probably.
We have literally come to within...
The fish and chips there.
It's now 12:37. Andy Warren has to be at Portland Road for 1 p.m. So is there any other business before we wrap up? Obviously, we hope they win at Reading. As I say normally, subscribe by your podcast provider. Leave us a review on iTunes. Say goodbye, Andy Warren.
Goodbye, Andy Warren.
Say goodbye, Stuart Watson.
Goodbye, Stuart Watson.
I've been Mark Heath, and this has been the Kings of Anglia podcast. We bloody hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll speak to you again soon.